Contested heritage. Bart's heritage. Hello, I'm Richard Harwood. I'm barrister at 39 Essex Chambers.
And I'm Clarissa Levy, Art and Heritage Council at Wedlake Bell.
And we're delighted to have with us today Will Palin, who is the chief executive of Bart's Heritage. He's formerly the director of Save Britain's Heritage and conservation director of the Old Royal Naval College, which is at Greenwich. And we're talking to Will today about St Bartholomew's Hospital, which is the hospital in the heart of the City of London. And delighted to have you on the show, Will.
Thank you, Richard. Thank you, Clarissa. It's very nice to be here.
What's the history of St Bartholomew's Hospital? How old is it and so on?
Well, it's quite old. We celebrated our 900th anniversary last year, founded in 1123, famously by an English priest called Rahere, who was a figure of some importance in the court of Henry I, decided to go on a pilgrimage to Rome towards the end of his life. And whilst he was in Rome, he became sick and he vowed, were he to recover, that he would found a hospital back in London. He then experienced a terrifying vision before leaving Rome after having recovered. And St. Bartholomew appeared in the vision and said, "Listen, Rahere, everything's going to be okay if you also found a priory and name it after me. And that should be in Smoothfield in the City of London." So Rahere returned. He was granted the land and the two institutions grew up simultaneously side by side.
Right. Okay. Priories had quite a rough time under Henry VIII. So what then happened?
Well, it was interesting that the priory was dissolved and, of course, the land sold off. The church of St. Bartholomew the Great is a reduced priory church, now a parish church. The hospital had a different fate. It was dissolved, but the City of London petitioned the king and warned him that without a hospital in the City of London, the streets would be strewn with the sick and the destitute, and it wouldn't look too good. So he was persuaded to refound the hospital. And just a few days before his death, he signed the hospital charter and re-endowed the hospital with its confiscated estates too, which was very important. So the hospital was in effect sort of closed, but then saved by Henry VIII.
And in terms of the buildings which there now are on the hospital site, how did the more important historical ones come about?
Well, the hospital grew organically over the centuries, and by the end of the 17th century, it would resemble something like an Oxford or Cambridge college with a series of courtyards, halls, accommodation. It was effectively a sort of gated community. There were lots of people living within the hospital site. But by the 18th century, it became clear that the hospital needed some modernization. And the governess, with an eye to some of the other big institutional building projects across London at the time, such as Bedlam or Bethlehem Hospital in Finsbury, decided that there needed to be a new master plan for the hospital. And they recruited an architect called James Gibbs, the leading classical architect of the time, trained in Rome under Carlo Fontana. And he agreed to give his services for free. And in the 1720s, he produced the first sort of new design for the hospital, which involved a courtyard with four wings or blocks surrounding it.
And part of those wings is what's now called the North Wing. And that has the Great Hall in it. I mean, it's a superb space. Do you want to describe it to us, Will?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting that the North Wing was built as the administration block, a bit like the Painted Hall at Greenwich. It was the first building to be constructed from this new plan. And the idea there was it was to be the fundraising centre for the new hospital. So the North Wing goes up. The spectacular interiors, the Great Hall and the Hogarth era, are installed and completed. And the idea is you're brought along to the hospital, you visit, you pass underneath the Henry VIII gatehouse into the courtyard, you turn into the building, up the great staircase, and then the climax is the Great Hall. And it's so beautiful, so spectacular. It represents everything about the ambition of the hospital, its charitable objectives. And by that point, you're persuaded to put your hand in your pocket and leave some money. And many people did. And the names of 3,000 benefactors are painted on the wall of the Great Hall.
In terms of the artwork there, the Hogarth staircase.
Yes, describe the paintings, because of course we can't see them on the radio. So describe these amazing paintings that persuaded people to part with their money.
Sure. Well, the story of Hogarth is an interesting one because he was a local lad born in Bartholomew Close, not far from the hospital. His mother and his sister lived on the hospital site in the first decades of the 18th century. So Hogarth knew the hospital well, and he had connections within the hospital. So when he heard that the hospital governors were about to award the commission for decorating the staircase to an Italian artist, a Venetian called Giacomo Amaconi, Hogarth was not best pleased. He also felt that this was an opportunity for him to show off his skills as a painter. He'd been doing very well by this point, particularly from the prints of his moral progressists that he was selling at the time. He had become an established and fairly wealthy artist, and he felt that this was an opportunity to do something on a grand scale, in homage, I suppose, to his father-in-law, James Thornhill, who decorated the Painted Hall at Greenwich. So he offered to do it for nothing. That was probably what persuaded the governess to take a chance on Hogarth, because he'd never attempted anything of this scale. And he got to work, and he took it very seriously. So he came up with two scripture stories, as he called them, stories from the New Testament. The first is the Pool of Bethesda, and that is the painting that faces you as you come up the staircase. Gigantic thing. And it tells a story of Christ arriving at the healing pool outside Jerusalem, and he encounters a paralyzed man, the lame man, who he addresses and says, you know, will thou be made whole? Or do you want to be cured? And the man tells Christ, I got no one to carry me to the healing pool. So Christ says, pick up thy bed and walk, and he is healed. So this is happening in the center of the painting. And then, of course, Hogarth adds a lot more to that. And what Hogarth gives these paintings is astonishing level of humanity and empathy. So behind Christ is this sort of rabble of the, I suppose you'd call them the innocent afflicted, the patients of the hospital who are queuing up to get to the pool to be cured. And they've got various illnesses and ailments that Hogarth very carefully depicted in conversation with his surgeon friend at the hospital, John Frake, who donated the great chandelier that now hangs in the Hogarth stair. So they're queuing up, they're trying to get to the pool. And on the other side, in this great sort of Hogarthian tradition, he introduces a wealthy woman who's trying to jump the queue effectively. She's arriving with her entourage. She's naked, and the intimation is whatever illness she's got, she's brought it upon herself. And her servant is preventing a woman with a baby from entering the pool by instructing the guard not to let her through the gate. So this is all happening. And in the very far corner, you have a figure representing death, sort of ghostly skeletal figure. So I think he was placed there. So when the governors finished their great banquets and came down the staircase, they were reminded of what we all face. And yeah, and perhaps also to do some work in this life to help the hospital and the sick and the needy.
And then the other painting is of the Good Samaritan.
That's right. So Hogarth painted, I mean, the first thing to say, they're both on canvas, which is interesting, but Hogarth painted Pool of Bethesda off-site and brought it in sections and installed it. But the Good Samaritan was painted, we think, in situ, and that was so Hogarth could match the tone of the first painting. And that shows, of course, the Israelite traveller who's attacked by robbers and left for dead by the side of the road. And whilst the priest and the religious teacher pass by on the other side of the road, the only person who comes to his aid is the reviled Samaritan. And he is shown pouring vinegar on the wounded man's chest, and he's about to take him to safety on his horse. So I suppose the first painting, Pool of Bethesda, is underlining the hospital's great traditions, its origins, charitable origins, its Christian origins. The Good Samaritan, I suppose, is the man healing man. This is the work of the hospital itself ongoing. So as you say, Clarissa, the idea is you come up that staircase and you're armed with all the information you need about the hospital, what it's about, and its history.
There's a stunning book of the hospital's first 900 years, of course, in Bartholomew's Hospital, 900 years, which is published by Bart's Heritage. And that has some fabulous photographs and details of those paintings, and does sort of bring home the sheer excellence and the points which Hogarth was seeking to draw out.
I've got a burning question for Will, which you mentioned that the Great Hall and these amazing paintings by Hogarth are what constituted really the fundraising centre for Barts. And I just wonder whether there was ever any intention for the health outcomes of the patients of Barts to be affected by the incredible beauty of the surroundings and the heritage? Or was it really just to persuade people to fundraise?
It's a good question, Clarissa. I think it was part of a wider ambition to create a sense of identity and pride within the hospital. So I think if you were a patient arriving there being assessed for whether you qualified to be taken on, it would be quite an awe-inspiring but also a rather comforting thing to feel you're entering an institution this grand, this important. So hopefully it did sort of help and reassure the patients when they arrive there. But, you know, it's hard to tell because there aren't that many accounts from patients themselves of their experiences of coming to the hospital during that early period.
Maybe a bit of everything, maybe a bit of spiritual support as well as financial encouragement.
Well, I mean, absolutely. And certainly as part of our project, that one of the backbone is the heritage and health links, which we will talk about later, I think.
Bringing things more forward, because development continues at the hospital. And one of the recent developments next to the North Wing is the Maggie's Centre for Cancer Care. There was a construction, I think, in 2017. There's a little prequel to that, which I was involved in, which was that the earlier scheme for the Maggie's Centre, which involved various connections into the North Wing, was contentious with particularly the Friends of the Bothwellies Hospital. So I was acting for Sir Mark Bicetta, who headed the Friends at the time. And we brought, for Marcus, a judicial review of that permission. Very unusually in planning judicial review, but I'm going to say welcomely planning judicial reviews, that was actually settled following a mediation where the hospital, the City of London Corporation, and the Friends got around. It was mediated by a colleague of mine in Chambers, John P. Smith, and agreed on the way forward for a Maggie's Centre in that location, but one which would less impact on the North Wing and also enable the North Wing to continue to operate more as a function space. So that was, in terms of issues that are contested, it was a very, very satisfactory resolution. I think more concerned, and what was discussed there went into the scheme, which has now been built out. Not too long after that, we have Barts Heritage being formed. So what's Barts Heritage doing?
Yeah, I mean, I think Barts Heritage sort of came out of that battle, really, Richard. It's quite funny because I remember when I was at SAVE being sort of approached by Sir Marcus Setchell at an event saying, can you help us? And I think, well, there's a chap called Richard Harwood who might want to help you. I might have passed you over to him. Of course, what happened was the original design for Maggie's was, I suppose, quite contentious because it's a modern design. But the key problem was it would be sort of fixed to the end of the east end of the North Wing and prevent the North Wing from being serviced in any way from that side of the building. So what happened after the mediation was a compromise was agreed and a sort of link building, which we call the Bustle now, was built with a lift and facilities in the basement and disabled loos and everything that was needed. And that was great. So it really set things up for the big battle, or rather the big challenge, which was to address the poor condition of the whole of the North Wing. But we were able to do that armed with the knowledge that once we had a new use, it would be viable because we had the appropriate servicing from that end of the building.
That's great. And I sort of was at a book launch event in 2021, which was held in the Great Hall, which is a book launch by George Sir Maurice Smith, the classical architect, of some of his sketches. And lovely venue for an event, and I hope that those sorts of things are going to be very much a feature going forward. But it was noticeable that you could see the water damage and you could see it as a building that needed a lot of work to it. So what is it that you're doing to the building?
Well, the building suffered, and it's not uncommon within institutions that have historic buildings in their estates. It hadn't really been looked after that well, hadn't been prioritised for maintenance or repair by the hospital. Understandably, they had other priorities. So it sort of languished. Maintenance wasn't kept up, you know, basic stuff wasn't done. So by the time that Barts Heritage was set up, there were some serious problems, particularly with water ingress from the roof that needed really replacing, and a whole series of other structural problems which had been partly caused by that, partly caused by other situations. So we had to really address the envelope of the building first, get the roof sorted out, get the stonework, the windows. There are 160 windows in the North Wing. It's, you know, there's lots of them. So the first plan was to do the all singing, all dancing restoration project for both the North Wing and the Gatehouse, which both sort of come under our control. We've leased those buildings. But raising £20 million during COVID wasn't really going to be particularly easy. So we've sort of chopped the project into two phases. The first phase, which is now underway, is to cover the key things in the North Wing, the envelope and the Hogarth Stair and the Great Hall. And that's costed at just under 10 million. And that's underway. And it's really exciting to see those works finally begin. There's a huge scaffolding around the building. We're building up for our public hard hat tours that will start in July. So it's a great moment.
So we'll see the restoration happening.
You can get up close to the work, meet the conservators.
That will be fascinating.
Handle objects and see what's going on. The idea is we want to take the public on the journey with us. It's really exciting. We did it at Greenwich and it was very successful. So we're going to try and roll the same thing out at Barts.
And have you found anything particularly interesting about the building or particular challenges have come up in the works?
There's always interest, and interest doesn't always mean things that are interesting and good. They can be interesting and bad. The trouble is that under the skin of the building, that's where the sort of horror show sometimes is. And we're doing a lot of work addressing structural problems, which no one will see, no one will know about, and is very expensive. So there's lots of unsexy work going on under the skin of the building. For example, when we have a crack which runs up one side of the Hogarth Stair, and we finally got to sort of investigate further, took some panelling off behind. We found the crack ran all the way through a wall, which was a thickness of about a metre, and ran upwards to the rooms above. So we've traced that. We are now working with our structural engineers to address it. We've got a sort of way of stabilising it. But if the building had been left for another, you know, 5 or 10 years, I'm not sure how viable it might have been to actually repair.
And how's the fundraising gone on this?
We made good headway with our fundraising. The Heritage Fund really came to our rescue after COVID. They liked the project. They liked the links with Heritage and Health. They liked our idea about bringing the hospital and the historic buildings closer together. So the staff and patients and public could benefit from these beautiful spaces. So they came in. They've now granted us just over 5 million. And the rest we raised through other trusts and foundations, a lot of great Barts supporters. Barts has a family all over the world, so we were able to draw on that goodwill and support.
And is the grandeur of the heritage still doing its job and encouraging people to come and support it?
Absolutely. Every opportunity I get, I'll bring someone up the Hogarth Stair and see whether it still has that power. But yeah, we've been very lucky. And of course, the wonderful thing about the Great Hall is you have these names of all the donors over the centuries with how much money they've given. And it was too good an opportunity not to continue that list. But the list was actually stopped in 1905 and we've continued it. So we have our current donors. It used to be £50 to get you on the wall. Now it's 50,000, but it's lovely to continue that tradition and have those names there. And it's a sort of fundraiser's paradise, really, the Great Hall.
You mentioned the role of the heritage with the hospital and staff and patients and so on. Of course, this is an immense heritage asset, but within a functioning hospital. How do you envisage the heritage as helping the hospital itself and the people who are being treated there and who work there?
Well, it was interesting. When I arrived at Barts Heritage, I think the view was to simply, you know, restore the building, get it working as a venue, make some money. And there hadn't been a lot of thought or discussion about continuing or strengthening links with the hospital itself. And then what happened with COVID was that the staff began to ask about whether they were able to come in and have a look. They were there on site. It was pretty intense, high stressed environments they were working in. So we opened the doors. We sort of set up a few rooms as well-being spaces, just where they get a cup of tea and play some pool or whatever. And then we opened up the Great Hall for them just to come in and just enjoy. And the response was so positive that we began to think about strengthening that element and building it into our project. And that's what we did. So what we'll be doing as part of our project is rolling out a program, quite a pioneering program, linking Heritage and Health which will address various audiences, including patients in the hospital who'll be able to come into the North Wing, or we'll be able to take material to the wards relating to the art and the architecture of the North Wing. And there'll also be opportunities for staff or for families visiting patients. Quite a lot of time people are waiting around a lot in hospitals and there's not a lot to do. So we've been working with Historic England and various other partners, including the hospital itself and the clinical teams, in developing really meaningful activities and things that people can do to relax, to reflect, and to hopefully be an aid to recovery too. So we did some pilot projects last year. They were very well received. We had lovely feedback from people attending the event. So we'll be building on that. And as I said, delivering that program over the next sort of 5 years, even after the capital works are finished.
Well, I mean, it's an amazing project. It's got significant support. The King is patron of arts heritage. How do people find out more about what you're doing and about the public tours and what's going to happen?
Well, the easiest way is just to go to our website. That's bartsheritage.org.uk. You can book your tickets for the tours there. As I said, they start in July. They run for 6 months. You can make a donation, please. We still need more of those. We're a small charity and cash flow is always an issue. And you can learn more about what we're doing and also see some glimpses of these. They are really remarkable spaces. I mean, this is a Grade 1 listed building. It's one of the most important buildings of its date anywhere in the country. And it happens to sit in the heart of the City of London, and very few people know about it. So go onto our website, look at those pictures, and hopefully it'll whet your appetite to visit.
That's fabulous. And also through the website, you can get the book, The Bart Hospital of 900 Years, which is a fabulous work.
Yes, of course. We've just reprinted it.
Well, thank you so much for coming on and talking to us and letting us know about something going on in the heart of the city.
Yeah, great pleasure. Thank you for having me.
We much look forward to attending our tours.
Yes, we'll get some special hard hats ready for you and Richard.
That's brilliant. Well, thanks very much.
Thank you for listening to the Art and Heritage Law Contested Heritage. Please do follow or subscribe on Apple or Spotify podcasts to enjoy more shows.
We have a new podcast out every fortnight. If you're able, please take the time to rate us and put down a review.
The show is also on the 39 Essex Chambers website, along with podcast series on topics such as artificial intelligence, climate change, and planning.